Good morning and welcome to Local Matters. Ben Rogers here in studio with Miss Megan Reagan. She is the Community Development Planner at the Upper Cumberland Development District. Good morning, Megan.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
I'm excited. You came highly recommended from a mutual friend of ours, Miss Molly Brown. And anybody Molly sends me, I try to have on because she's as connected as anybody in this community. And if she says this person's great and you need to talk to her, then I want to have them on. So thank you for being here.
Thank you. I love Molly. She's great. Great to have her as a part of our team at the Development District.
Yeah, she's just a wealth of knowledge and just a great personality and just positive, as she has told me about you. And I love to be around positive people. Mm-hmm. And so I want to know about you. This first time we met, right? I mean, I may have seen you, I guess, at the commission meetings when you worked at the paper a couple times, maybe.
I covered election night a couple of
times. Yes. Oh, that's right.
And yep. Jim Herron, whenever I worked at the paper, he covered the county commission. I may have filled in for him once or twice.
I met you at the chamber, though, election night.
Yes. I cover a lot of chamber stuff, too. And so I know we've crossed paths many times.
Sure. But, well, it's good to finally sit down and have a conversation. And that's what this is. I want the people to get to know Miss Megan Reagan from the Development District here in Upper Cumberland. So let's talk about your background. Where are you from?
I am from a small town in Alabama called Eclectic.
Eclectic Alabama?
Eclectic Alabama.
I have never heard of that. Where is that at in
That's
Alabama?
About 45 minutes north of Montgomery. Okay. Elmore County. Elmore County is about the same size of Putnam County.
Okay.
I grew up there. Yeah.
So you grew up in Alabama?
I grew up in Alabama,
What age did you come to Tennessee?
I was 21 years old. Background. It's kind of a long story.
No,
so.
That's why we're here. I want to know.
So after I graduated high school, I went to Troy University in Alabama for one semester. I could not afford school and ended up having to drop out my first semester.
Right.
Alabama doesn't have the wealth of opportunity for education that Tennessee has. And so so I didn't really have any assistance. And so I continued to stay in Troy. And I lived with some friends, and I went to go work at a chicken processing facility.
Okay.
And I worked at a chicken processing facility for 2 years. But while I was there, I met my what is now my husband.
Okay.
And so my husband was there also working to pay off some student debt. His best friend was from the area not too far from the processing facility, and he got him a job as a supervisor, and I met him while we were working there together, and he convinced me to uproot my life and come up here, which is fantastic, really.
So I got 100 questions. Let me start with this. Do you like to eat chicken now that you've worked at a chicken processor?
It was really clean.
Okay.
So it was really clean. It didn't affect me.
I hear people that work at, like, we have the Purdue and Monterey,
right.
Have other places around here that process food, and you hear people say, my wife worked in a restaurant, a barbecue restaurant, for a while, she wouldn't eat barbecue.
Oh.
Like when she was younger, she wouldn't eat barbecue for a couple of years because she worked there. So I didn't know if that affected you. But that's hard work, right?
It was hard work. I started out on the line, but I worked my way up to quality assurance very quickly.
Right.
So I did quality assurance work there. And so that was kind of fun, getting to play with all the chemicals and testing stuff for salmonella and other bacteria, and just doing checks. And that's also why my husband hated me, because I was quality assurance.
you were always making sure he was assured of what he was doing.
Yes. And we hit it off, and so we started dating, and he got a job offer up here and moved back up here, and we were dating long distance for 3 months for the first part of our relationship, and he convinced me to move up here. So
I've done the long distance thing.
Mm-hmm.
It is tough, but you get through it.
You do.
If you want to get through it.
And it was only 3 months. Yeah. So it was only three months.
Yeah. So, but so that's why you all come up here. He got a job offer. So who offered him a job?
He worked at IWC for a really long time. He worked at IWC, but his family's from the area.
Okay.
And so that's kind of what brought him back. And so we came up here and have kind of settled. So,
so you've been here how long now?
I've been here for 8 years now.
You like it?
I love it.
Yeah. Is it similar? I know you said the size was similar as eclectic.
Okay, so
county, but
the county is about the same size of Putnam, but as far as the town that I grew up in, it was smaller than Salina.
Really?
It was smaller than Salina, yes.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay, and Salina's pretty small, but I think they're growing now. But yeah, so I guess it's a little bit of a culture. Well, you were in Troy, though. Troy's pretty big. I mean,
no, it's not.
Oh, it's not?
No.
Okay, I don't know anything anymore. I know they're a good university.
They're a great university. Yeah. They really are. Troy University, I think, is whenever I was there, it's about the same size Tech is now. But that's all that's there. There's Troy.
It's a college town.
It's a college town. Okay. That's all that's there is the university, the hospital, and Walmart. So it's a really, really small town.
Well, you know what's funny? I think, and you can talk about this because you're a community development planner. But I think years ago when I was growing up, and I'm 43 now, but maybe when I was 9, 10, I think outsiders looked at Cookeville mm-hmm. as a college town, right?
Yeah.
All they had was Tennessee Tech.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the case anymore.
No, it's like, not.
And we'll talk about it, but that's not the case. We're more than a college town. That Putnam County, Cookeville, we're more. So I think it's funny, but is Troy still, you think, a college town? Is it still in the same place it was when you were there?
That's a really good question because okay. I really don't know because none of my friends are there anymore.
No reason to go back.
So I have no reason to go back. So I don't know that if I don't know if it's changed a lot.
Okay.
But. No, but Putnam County has grown a lot in the 8 years that I've been here, a lot.
Yeah, it's my 10th year as a commissioner, and it is we're growing leaps and bounds, and it's just like you worry, and that's what we as a commission do is we meet and discuss and we vote to try to maintain the growth,
mm-hmm.
right? And again, we'll talk about some of this stuff because that's what you do. But,
right.
So when you got to Cookeville, mm-hmm. you and your husband – boyfriend at the time, I guess.
Yeah.
So he has a job. What did you do?
I was trying to find a job. I actually taught. So all throughout high school, I was majoring in dance at Troy University.
Okay.
I taught dance all through high school. And whenever I moved up here, I actually taught dance for a couple of months at one of the studios here, but it just wasn't a good fit.
Right.
It just wasn't a good fit. I didn't like it that much. And I ended up working night shift at Sam's for a little while. And then when we moved to Livingston, his parents have some property in Livingston.
Okay.
So I moved there or we moved there. And I worked at Tennessee Barbecue in Livingston.
That's,
and I worked at Twice Daily. So I was working two jobs.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah, I was working two jobs. And so, but after we got married, I qualified for Tennessee Reconnect,
mm-hmm.
and I went back to school.
Oh, great.
And went to Vol State and got my associate's degree. And then I transferred to Tennessee Tech, where I majored in communications with an emphasis in journalism and have a minor in sociology.
So, okay. Mm-hmm. When did you graduate Tech?
Last December.
Oh,
yeah. I'm a non-traditional student, so I got started a little bit later.
Hey, I just got I graduated from my master's in December. So
congratulations.
Thank you. I'm a non-traditional master's student. That was one thing that when I graduated Tech in 2002, mm-hmm. some of my friends said, well, I'm just going to get our master's. And I'm sitting here at 4 years of school, and I'm like four and a half because I took enough hours to sit for the CPA mm-hmm. exam. You had to have 150 hours to sit for the CPA exam, so I had to stay another semester. I'm like, I just want to get out and make money.
Right.
If I'd known then what I know now, I probably would have gotten my master's immediately.
Right.
I didn't want any student loan debt.
Yeah.
So I wanted to make money. I didn't want any debt. And so I went straight into the field of accounting and then decided 2 years ago now in August to start my master's program. So,
okay.
But yeah, I know how it is. It's higher education for somebody my age is not, it's not preferable, but I would always encourage people to do it because if I can do it, anybody can do it.
Oh, absolutely. My husband finished, he went back for his master's. So whenever I went back to school, he went back to school. So he went back to school. He finished, he was a few credits shy of having his bachelor's. And so he got his bachelor's while I was at Ball State.
Okay.
And then whenever I transferred to Tech, I was still working all the time and going to school. And so he got bored and decided to go back for his master's too. And so he finished with his master's back in 2019.
So. Okay. So it worked out. You both were working and in school and you support each other.
Exactly.
You know you're going through, but that's like, it didn't have idle hands, right? He was busy too. So that's awesome. Mm-hmm. So, your journey to Cookeville and you're working two jobs in Livingston.
I was working two jobs in Livingston until about a year into working on my associate's degree. I figured out what it was that I wanted to major in, which was communications. And I started to go and ask people around Livingston if I could shadow them for what they with what they do. I went to the mayor, asked him if I could shadow him or if he needed any help.
Which mayor did you go to?
Mayor Hayes at the time.
Curtis,
Hayes at the time. And he's like, well, you can answer phones. And I was like, no, that's not what I mean by communications, but thank you.
It's a form of communication, but it's not profession, right?
And I went to the chamber, and a sales position actually opened up at the Livingston Enterprise, the newspaper there, or one of the newspapers there. And I applied for it. But the publisher at the time saw in my resume that I was majoring in communications. And he was like, I have a staff writer position open, and I think you would be better suited for that. And I was just trying to get in the door, and I took it, and I was at the Enterprise for 2 years.
I think that's awesome that somebody in that position, your boss at the Enterprise, saw your resume and your aspirations and what you wanted to do and gave you that opportunity. Because easily they could have said, we want you to do the sales position and never move up, and that's what we need. I think that's great. I'm with Miss Megan Reagan. She is the community development planner for the Upper Cumberland Development District. We are talking about her and her background. We'll talk about development planning when we come back after this break here in just a moment. Welcome back to Local Matters. Ben Rogers with Miss Megan Reagan. She is the community development planner at the Upper Cumberland Development District. Getting tongue-tied already. Just a lot of words, right?
It is.
Community development planner at the Upper Cumberland Development District. So, and you actually started in May 2023, and we want to get into that, but I'm intrigued. You're from Alabama. You went to Troy to go to school, majored in dance, met your future husband.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all decided he got a job opportunity up here where he's got family in Cookeville or in the area, and you come back and you spark an interest in communication. So, Megan, you went from being a dance major to want to major in communications at Ball State and at Tech. What was that? What intrigued you about getting into communications?
Honestly, it was just writing.
Okay.
Whenever I was taking some of my basic writing composition classes, I fell in love with writing again. I was always really good at it in high school, and I just kind of forgot how much I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had a real knack for it. And I was looking at, well, what can I do with writing? And so I thought about communications, and I love people so much. I love connecting. And I thought communications would be a great fit. I didn't know what I wanted to do in communications at the time.
Right.
until I started at the Enterprise, and then I had a 4-year stint working for local newspapers, and I absolutely loved it whenever I did it.
So, I said it last segment, but I want to reiterate, is the person that's still at the Enterprise that gave you the opportunity?
No, not long after COVID hit, the paper ended up selling to another publisher.
Okay.
And so I left not long after it sold, and I went to the Herald Citizen.
Well, I want to applaud him for giving you that chance by just looking at your resume and saying you want to, your interest is in communications, you want to major in that, and then giving that sales or that writing, that staff position as a writer. So what was one of the first things you wrote about at the Enterprise? Do you remember?
Oh, gosh. So the very first, like, I was covering city council, county commission, all of that. Those were the very first things I started on. But my favorite thing, there was a girl who was a suicide survivor, a suicide attempt survivor.
Yeah.
And she, her mom had posted a little bit about her story on Facebook. And I asked my publisher if I could pursue the story. And he said, that's a really sensitive subject. And that's a really sensitive subject, and it's a really hard one to write about. But if you want to do it, go for it. And so he said, don't have your feelings hurt if they don't agree to do it, because
right.
it's hard to talk about publicly. But they agreed to do it. And to this day, I think it's probably one of my favorite stories I've ever written. And it was one of my first features.
Okay. But, again, I think it's awesome your publisher was supportive.
Very. He was.
To me, a good, effective, successful leader.
Mm-hmm.
is supportive and encouraging and empowering to their staff or their team, I should mm-hmm. say. And so I love, that's why I do this. I love hearing good things. So you're at Vol State, and did you do the Cookeville campus or Livingston campus?
Both.
Okay.
But I was also there in the middle of COVID. And so I went online
yeah.
for the last bit of all of it.
Yeah.
And, for the last bit of all of it. And then I transferred to Tech.
And I do want to mention something. You said you loved writing.
Mm-hmm.
I was okay at writing in high school and at college, and then I didn't have to do a whole lot of it. When you're a CPA firm, you don't have a lot of writing to do. Right.
Right?
You're doing tax returns, you're doing audits. There's not a whole lot of, I mean, there's findings and summaries, but there's no elaborate pieces mm-hmm. of literature you're writing. And then I start my master's almost 2 years ago. And
so
it's
much.
The only thing we're doing is writing.
Right.
And I thought I was going to lose my mind. I purchased Grammarly.
Oh, yeah.
And it helped me so much with my composition and my wording and grammar. And that actually relieved stress off me, because mm-hmm. I feel like I speak and write in the passive voice, and I don't mean to.
Right.
I think it's just my nature.
That was something I had to work on too, even at the newspaper, was just writing passively all
yeah,
the time.
Yeah.
And whenever I went to the Herald though, like Jim Herron, he was a stickler with editing. And so Jim, I think, even helped me grow even more as a writer, too. So
Jim is really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I aggravate Jim, because when he takes pictures of me at the commission meeting, he always catches me in the worst position. My mouth open, my hands up. I look angry. I'm not angry. I'm trying to talk. You know, I'm
right.
trying to inform. But anyway, Jim, we love you. Good job out there. So you graduate Tech.
I graduated Tech.
And then what was your steps after that?
Well, I started at the development district while I was finishing up my last semester at Tech. And so I was actually surprised that they hired me for the community development planner position, considering I was still working on my bachelor's. But they really worked with me. I was working long days because I had classes in the middle of the days. But it worked, and they were very supportive. Even had some of my coworkers come to graduation. It was great. But after that, I've been at the development district for a year now. So
let me say this. Your direct report is Tommy Lee.
Tommy Lee is my is our director.
And then
yes.
and then of course Mark is above
Farley,
him. Mark
yes.
Farley. Both of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not surprised, by the way, that they hired you and let you work in that position, because they are leaders that support their people, right?
Absolutely.
And they're two people that, and I've known Mark ever since I've been in county government. He was a finance director at White County.
Mm-hmm.
So I've known him since 2005, 2006, and I've known Tommy Lee almost as long.
Right.
Really, we've known each other a long time, and I just know them. And they want to be successful, mm-hmm. so they're going to make decisions that allow them to be successful. And
right.
hiring good people, whether they have the credentials officially, right? Like on paper, it's not always about what's on paper. It's
mm-hmm.
usually first for me, it's about what's in your heart. And I'm getting all my soapbox. I'm sorry. It's to be effective and to make an impact, it's in your heart first,
mm-hmm.
and then you probably need to have some kind of knowledge, right? Utilize your brain, your intelligence, but they see that in people, and I'm glad they gave you that opportunity.
Oh, me too. My love for community started from working at the papers. You know, like you're in it, you're
mm-hmm.
covering all these different things, and but now at the development district, I'm a part of it in a different way.
Right.
And I feel like it's making a much bigger impact than what I could do at the paper.
Yeah. And I think it's a good fit because the Herald and Citizen, you were at the Herald and Citizen, right?
Yes.
Herald Citizen before you came to the Velvet District, and they cover the Upper Cumberland a lot of places. I mean, they get out there, right? They don't just stay in Cookeville and Putnam County. They try to get out and
As much as they can.
Yeah. And so that enabled you to meet people. And of course, you being in Livingston and working at the Enterprise, mm-hmm. and you're already familiar with these counties. So if you already know some of these people, it's easy mm-hmm. for the Development District to sit back and say, hey, she's already got a connection. She's already built relationships with people by her work at the paper. So
she knows how local government works to some extent.
Yeah.
Because you're
covered county commission, city mm-hmm. council meetings. And I think I said this a few weeks ago with maybe Mayor Curtis Hayes, I can't remember. At council and commission meetings, they may seem very short at the meetings, but it's the committee meetings leading up to
the workshops,
the work sessions, whether it's the council or the commission, that really the decisions are deliberated on and discussed, and then you get to commission and basically you vote. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can discuss there too. So you were a part of that. So obviously that was a good fit for you to see how cities and counties work. So I'm excited I got more time with you. But I do have Megan Reagan. She is the community development planner at the Upper Cumberland Development District. We're here talking about her background and how she got to Cookeville being from Alabama, but we're going to get back and talk about her position at the Development District as soon as we return after this break in just a moment. Welcome back to Local Matters. I've just enjoyed my time with Miss Megan Reagan, a community development planner at the Upper Cumberland Development District. Again, Megan, thank you for being here. It's been great.
Thank you. Yeah,
thank you. Great information. So we are now to the point where you're at the Development District as the Community Development Planner, and you started in May of 2023, so it's been a little over a year at this point.
Yeah.
What are some of the projects you have been working on the last 12 months?
So our department has actually grown. There's five of us now, so there's five Community Development Planners. And since I've been there, we currently have 88 open projects.
Oh, wow.
And our team is working on 21 applications, grant applications at the moment. Maybe I should start with that. So what our department does, we help write and administer the grants for the county and city governments.
Okay.
And so if there's a project that the mayor or a county executive wants to do, or any other arm of the local government, if there's something that they want to do, they reach out to us, and we help write and administer grant funds for them, and we help find funding opportunities for different projects. And but right now we're working on 21 applications among the team. This year alone, we've applied for $19 million in funding so far, and we've been awarded $9.4 million so far. And we write grants for everything between sewer, water, parks and rec, tourism. One of my favorite ones, and earlier you brought up about how Tommy and Mark Farley are just great people and really push their team. And whenever I first started, there was this one grant that I worked on, and it was an ED, Economic Development Agency pilot program. And there were 562 applicants across the nation. Only 22 got funded. We did not, but that project by far was probably my favorite one that I've worked on so far, because it was so in depth, and it was to address a major issue that we're all seeing right now with workforce participation among the prime age employment age group. And so that one was really interesting, and there were so many moving parts for it, with childcare and transportation and employer-employee connections, and them allowing me to work on something that big, being so new. It was great, and that's probably my favorite project I've worked on so far.
So speaking of being new, coming from the communication field, which really you're still in the communication field, right?
Yeah, I'm still writing all the time.
Was the transition easy?
It was. It's a different style of writing where with the newspaper, I'm talking about what other people say or doing one-on-one interviews for features or something like that. Grants are very much research centered. Mm-hmm. And I love that. Right. I really do. I like that a lot. It's a little different, but it's still telling a story. It's telling a story of the community, why your community needs that funding, why they're in the position that they're in and stuff like that. And so, the writing part was not a hard transition. The administrative part is still very new, still very, very new to me.
Well, it's numbers.
It is numbers. And I am not a numbers girl.
But of course, I'm not in that position, but I've worked with you all in the mm-hmm. Velvet District in these positions for years. And there are numbers, and my former position at CTAS as a consultant, we would help the mayors or the finance directors mm-hmm. make sure they were following the guidelines of the grant that you mm-hmm. all helped them be awarded, right?
Exactly.
And so there are some numbers. So there's really, they've got people there to utilize as mm-hmm. well. That maybe you don't have to know everything about the numbers, but the key is they spend the money for what the intent is, right?
Right.
The purpose. They don't spend it for something else.
Exactly.
We had a county executive, and I will not name county, year, or any location, but had a grant for a building
mm-hmm.
for a public service for public safety, and he took some of that money and put it in the budget to give raises.
Right.
And you can't do that.
Right.
The grant was awarded for the specific purpose to have a building constructed mm-hmm. and for a public safety purpose, and just took some of it, said, you know what, we'll just use this money. Their fund balance was low. Their
right.
cash was low, and he didn't want to lose favor with employees, so he suggested the commission – didn't tell the commission where the money was coming from, just said, hey, we got the money. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's what people say. We just got the money and there's not enough questions asked.
Right.
I'm not trying to be negative, but in reality, in government, sometimes it works that way. You follow one person and mm-hmm. you don't ask questions. So I'm getting off here, but that the grant stuff is serious.
It's
serious.
It is very serious.
And you are responsible for administering it, and you're trying to help these folks make sure they understand it. They give you the right paperwork, the invoices, receipts, whatever,
mm-hmm.
and you help them. And it's a taxing job, but it's so rewarding, right?
It is so rewarding. Especially so whenever I first started, I inherited a lot of open projects. And so I've been working on those, but some of them are coming to an end. And so seeing those being closed out, projects being completed, it's just great. And you know that it's going to help someone who didn't have running water before. Now they have access to potable water.
Yeah.
Or someone who didn't have sewer, or the sewers being connected for industrial purposes to support an industry partner or something.
Yeah.
And so to better the economy and again people's lives. And so so it is very, very rewarding.
So there's five of you all.
There's five of us, yes.
88 projects.
There's 88 projects open among five of us, yes.
How do y'all do it?
That's a good question. We have great bosses, though.
Yeah.
We really do. And with the reporting and stuff like that, there's certain dates reports are supposed to be due. So it's all kind of scattered. And but we're doing it. Now, I don't know how they did it before our department grew, because before I started, there were only two planners.
Wow.
And so I don't know how they did all of that, especially with all of the ARP funding that's come through the pipeline. But they did it, and I don't know how.
Well, y'all do a great job. Listen, I've worked with the 13 counties, Upper Cumberland. Now I'm working with all across the state. But if it wasn't for development districts, some of these counties wouldn't have access to these funds, right?
Right.
The monies that are available from the federal government, state government, and they wouldn't be able to apply for them and administer them if they did get them. And so you are a vital resource to the community.
We are.
Mm-hmm. And your position is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And so the process, we won't get into the whole grant process because it's long, but in your year, what's one of your favorite projects? Do you have a favorite right now?
The one that I mentioned was the recompete one.
Okay.
Like, that's my favorite one that I worked on.
Yeah.
We didn't get funded for it, but we're hoping that it'll open again. But it was a highly competitive project. And that was something that we applied for as the development district.
Sure.
No one community applied. But I've also enjoyed writing some of these grants for broadband money that's coming down from the Department of Economic and Community Development, and one in particular, Clay County. I got to write a grant for Clay County to build a 3,000 square foot expansion onto their library.
Okay,
and that just being able to tell the story of Clay County, express what the need is, what that expansion's going to do for the community, because they're going to have co-working space. They're going to have all of these things to try to the grant's called Connected Community Facility, so it's going to have all of these things to try to bring people together to enhance workforce, to enhance education, to enhance digital skills. And so in these rural areas, there are gaps in those areas. And so it's really important for that. And so I really enjoyed writing that one. I worked on a similar one for Warren County for their 3-star mall. That one was a great one. I'm enjoying those right now too. So
do you ever find, I never wrote grants, but I did help Clay County years ago with a rating call, their credit rating.
Mm-hmm.
Tell the story, like mm-hmm. you said, about Clay County and tell these people in New York City why Clay County deserves a good rating
right.
for the bond, mm-hmm. if they issue a bond. Do you ever find it difficult telling the story to these people that are awarding these grants that may not even know where Clay County is, right? You're mm-hmm. looking at a federal government grant or a state grant. I mean, state knows where that, but they may have never visited Solana.
Right.
So do you find it difficult trying to tell that story to somebody that may have never experienced?
I don't personally, because I don't find it difficult to tell that story. Because I'm a storyteller,
right.
you know, I find a way. And again, it's like they're looking for data, too. You have to prove it with data, with whatever claim you're making.
Yeah.
And so if the numbers are there, then it's not a hard case to make.
And that's what it was with this guy in New York City that's
right.
doing this rating call. And like I said, he didn't even know where Clay County was, never been to Tennessee. And he wanted to know the audit numbers. He wanted mm-hmm. to know fund balances. But then he wanted to know potential for growth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the story we're telling.
Exactly.
What brings people to Clay County? What makes it attractive? But I love being a storyteller in your position mm-hmm. is so beneficial for these grants and applying for these grants. And the counties are lucky to have you.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
I think it's wonderful for five people. I'm going to call Tommy and Mark. Maybe he can get you some more help. But I mean, I think it's wonderful that y'all are managing 88 projects. So
yeah, we have a full staff now, but and it's actually grown.
Do you have an assigned area, or y'all just whatever's available, you work wherever?
Someone has if no one's working on something very big or anything and they have time, they can help someone with a project.
Awesome.
And so, and we do. We have a great team.
You do. The whole development district staff's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Megan, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Ben.
This has been a wonderful opportunity to learn more about you and a community development planner. I've had Tommy Lee on, but he talked more about his overall role and
right,
stuff.
Right.
So it's good to hear from you too as well about what you do and how you're helping counties and cities. Folks, hope you enjoyed this as much as I have. Hope you have a great weekend. Remember, it's a lot easier to be kind. Smile, don't frown. It's a lot less muscles to smile than it is to frown. Be kind to one another. Give somebody a hug. Hope you have a great weekend. We'll see you next week.